The Pat Kenny Show
on News Talk with Mastercard.
During the last 3 months of pregnancy, women only require about 200 extra calories. That's the equivalent of 2 pieces of whole grain toast with olive oil. No, be kind, have a little bit of olive oil on it. But a more recent study has found that more than 2/3 of mothers-to-be have no idea how much they should be eating. Fergal Malone, Master of the Rotunda Hospital in Dublin and Professor and Chairman at the Department of Obstetrics and Gynaecology in the Royal College of Surgeons, is with me in studio. Fergal, how are you?
I'm good, Jonathan.
Thank you very much for joining us. The old saying used to be you're eating for two, which used to be kind of carte blanche to eat whatever the hell you liked. Is that wrong?
That is absolutely wrong. We think you should just eat what feels right for you and as healthy a diet as you possibly can. But the idea of eating for two is a bit of a myth.
But when you're 32 weeks pregnant, you're extremely uncomfortable, and probably one of the few joys you have if you don't have severe heartburn is food. So you're not trying to take it away from them now, are you?
No, we're not. But what you also find is when you're 32 weeks pregnant, when the uterus is quite big and pushing on the stomach, the appetite tends to go down, and it's frequent small meals as opposed to one or two big meals is the order of the day.
So how many frequent small meals should you have?
Well,
define small.
Yeah, smaller than a big meal. three or four small meals throughout the day. But really it's to eat what you feel is right, rather than a specific volume. In general, it's about 2,000, 2,400 calories a day is what we would usually suggest for a pregnant woman. Slightly more towards the end of the pregnancy, slightly less towards the start of the pregnancy.
Do you find people get a bit stupid when it's their first pregnancy, insofar as they've never done this before and they're terrified they're going to do something wrong? So they will read one book one week, then another book the next week, and possibly change as they go on for fear that something what they'll do will affect the child when the child is oblivious to the whole thing and is probably getting on fine.
Yeah, I think you can overthink it sometimes, Jonathan. I think that's a fair point. Again, if you just stick with what seems right, healthy food in moderate portions, that's really the order of the day. There's very few things on a dietary level that are an absolute no-no. For example, we don't encourage alcohol in pregnancy, obviously.
At all?
Well, the official stance is at all, simply because no one has ever proven what's a safe amount of alcohol. So, I mean, there's no if a glass of wine passed your lips once every now and again in pregnancy, I wouldn't be upset or afraid of that. But at the same time, we can't give people a safe amount of alcohol, a recommendation on a safe amount of alcohol. So therefore, the standard really should be no alcohol in pregnancy. Raw meat would be another one that you'd probably be best keeping away from. Some types of fish that have a higher potential for higher levels of mercury, like tuna, shark, swordfish, are best avoided. Some soft cheeses. But other than
I'm just going to laugh at the fact you dropped shark in there.
Yeah, I'm
not sure how many pregnant women are considering a shark salad for lunch.
Shark or swordfish wouldn't be up there now with the with the common ones, but they're on the list of what you should be avoiding. So really, when you get right down to it, there's not many things that are an absolute no-no in pregnancy. So I would encourage people to relax and not be terrorised by what they might or might not have been doing with their diet.
This texter says, I'm only 6 weeks pregnant, so congratulations, you haven't told anybody yet, presumably apart from your doctor and yourself. I'm suffering from nausea already, and over the last 4 days I've eaten very little. What would Fergal recommend? Should I be taking supplements? Are there foods that maybe are more palatable to somebody at that early stage of pregnancy?
Yeah, unfortunately the answer there is bland, bland, bland. Any food with a strong smell or a strong taste is probably going to set off the nausea centre in the brain and just make it worse. The other thing is, don't let your stomach go empty. It's often when the stomach is empty that the sickness is worse. I have some patients who they'll keep biscuits or crackers by their bedside table, and when they wake up in the morning, even before getting out of bed, they might have a plain biscuit or a cracker just to settle the stomach. So that's really the secret there.
Before they brush their teeth, which is the next challenge.
Absolutely, yeah. Which is the next challenge. So keep it simple.
Yeah, and when you say bland, we're talking about, you know, maybe just the humble grilled chicken breast, mashed buds, yeah. Something that's not going
slice
to set
of
you
toast.
Off. Yeah.
Slice of toast, something really, really simple like that. Don't worry about how specific the diet is in those few weeks when you're that sick. Sure, there's certain vitamins, specifically folic acid, that you do need to take in the first trimester. But the big multivitamin pills that you see people eating are probably best avoided if you're feeling that sick, because some iron in those multivitamin pills makes the sickness worse.
Some people now obviously will have been very healthy and fit when they got pregnant, which is the ideal. But then there'll be others maybe who are carrying carrying a little bit of extra weight, and the diet that would have gotten them into that situation may wish to continue during pregnancy. So, for example, someone who had an unhealthy diet is carrying a little bit of weight when they got pregnant. Do they need to change their diet while pregnant, or should they continue with what they were eating?
Well, they should try and change their diet as health to be as healthy as possible. We don't encourage people to lose weight in pregnancy. So, for example, if you're a little bit overweight going into pregnancy, your goal should be to just maintain your weight as opposed to actively lose weight.
But it's very hard to tell, though, isn't it?
It is very hard to tell, but don't just keep doing the bad things that might have got you into that situation in the first place. You should really do your best to avoid lots of the carbs and the white bread and the potatoes and lots of pasta and white rice. Switch those over maybe to whole grain bread, whole wheat, cereals, things like that, and reduce the very simple carbohydrates like that and fats.
What about somebody who is a gym bunny, who goes to the gym three times a week, finds themselves pregnant? Do they go straight back to the gym? Do they hold off? Do they just reduce the amount of exercise?
Exercise is a good thing in pregnancy. We encourage exercise in pregnancy, at least 20 minutes of moderate exercise a day, most days of the week. If you're fit and have been used to exercising very regularly, there's absolutely nothing wrong with continuing along with that. But listen to your body. If you do a workout in the gym and an hour later or later that day you're absolutely wiped out and exhausted, you need to dial it back a little bit.
Let's go to some of the questions that have come in on text, and one of them is linked to what we're talking about. Is it okay to undertake vigorous exercise in the first few weeks of pregnancy? So this is presumably somebody who builds up a sweat on the treadmill or the cross trainer.
Yes, it is. There's no evidence, for example, that vigorous exercise will cause a miscarriage, for example, or will prevent a pregnancy developing. So if that's what you're used to, there's absolutely no problem continuing with that. We have marathon runners who are pregnant.
What about weights? Weights would be different?
Yeah, no. Weights, especially upper body, is no problem at all. There are going to be certain exercises such as abdominal crunches that, as the pregnancy progresses, just from the sheer bulk of the abdomen, are going to be difficult to do. But there's very little evidence that any specific exercise of that will cause a problem. The main exercise we would tell people that would be a no-no in pregnancy is anything that could be described as a contact sport. So mountain biking, where you might fall off,
rugby.
Horse riding, rugby, taekwondo, you name it. Anything like that where you might get a blow to the abdomen.
That's out.
Okay. But aerobics, jogging, exercise bicycles. Swimming is a wonderful exercise because there's no impact on your joints. Pilates, yoga, these are all absolutely fine in pregnancy.
My husband, says Joanne in Dublin, good morning Joanne, he's a real stickler when it comes to what I can and can't eat during pregnancy. When we go for dinner to friends' houses, he's very vocal and it embarrasses me. What can I definitely not eat? I think he's being a bit cautious. Clip around the ear, Joanne, is probably the easiest thing to do there, but we get the professional advice from Virgil.
I think he is being a bit too cautious. As I mentioned earlier, there's very few things that are an absolute no-no. So raw meat, certain of those fishes, we talk swordfish and shark, blue cheese is probably best avoided.
Anything with a mould in it.
Exactly, anything with a mould in it.
Goat's cheese was always one that was up for debate.
No, as long as it's pasteurised. So pasteurised dairy products are the order of the day. The other one that we get a lot of debate on is things like mayonnaise.
Nuts.
The mayonnaise.
Sorry, come back to nuts.
The mayonnaise that you buy in a supermarket shelf is generally fine because it's all been made with pasteurised products. Homemade mayonnaise, probably best avoided. Nuts are absolutely fine.
There was a big thing for years that if you took nuts, your child was going to come out anaphylactic.
Absolutely not. Nuts are amongst the best source of protein, nutritious protein that you can get. I'd strongly encourage nuts. If you already have an allergy to nuts, obviously you need to keep away from it. But there's no evidence that by a pregnant woman taking nuts in pregnancy, she's going to make her newborn baby severely nut allergic.
Obviously, we are two men talking about this and there are women listening who are probably shouting at the radio. But the men play a role here, as they do in Joanne's case. What advice do you give to men? Because you tend to see both a lot of the time. Men worry a lot because they have no control over the situation.
I think that's probably true, but you can lead by example, and there's no point in expecting your partner to be doing absolutely perfect diet while you're eating a breakfast roll in front of her at breakfast while she can't even get past a slice of toast. So I think maybe if you're going to have the breakfast roll, maybe you disappear outside. So lead by example, help out, join her in what she's going to eat, and it's a team approach.
If only I'd known that at the time, I would have gotten away with a lot less. Kira says, what's the best way to up my intake of folic acid? Is there enough built into my daily diet, or should I take a supplement?
Unfortunately, there probably isn't. In the first 12 weeks of pregnancy, and indeed in the weeks leading up to conception, it's wise for people to take 400 micrograms of folic acid. And you can get it as a standalone supplement, or it can be built into a pregnancy supplement. But you probably won't get sufficient in the diet, even though there is folate supplementation in a lot of foodstuffs.
You're just guaranteed to get the right amount if you take the tablet, presumably.
And the crucial part is folic acid at that time will greatly reduce the incidence of spina bifida. And unfortunately, Ireland is a geographic area where we have a disproportionately high incidence of spina bifida.
My favourite question in the entire list is from Karen. Hello, Karen. She's 5 weeks pregnant, so again, very early. Congratulations. You haven't told anyone else yet. Good for you. Can I paint when I'm pregnant? I'm presuming she's not doing watercolours.
Yes, she can. Years ago, when a lot of paints had a lead base to them, it was very wise for pregnant people to avoid that, because lead, if you inhale lead and it gets into your bloodstream, lead is extremely toxic to developing babies' brains. So lead is, and exposure to lead is a no-no. But to my knowledge, there is no lead-based paints available anymore. I think they've been off the market for quite some time.
Okay, I'm 15 weeks pregnant, says a listener. I've suddenly developed pains in both my hips when lying down to sleep. It's driving me mad, as I'm so tired and I can't get comfortable. I've put a pillow under me while sleeping, but I can't get comfortable. Is this just part of the pregnancy, or could it be something more sinister?
It's probably just part of the pregnancy. It's probably pressure from the uterus and the baby pushing down on the sciatic nerves at the base of the spine, and that shoots down the legs. Hot pack in against your back. The painkiller that's okay to take in pregnancy is paracetamol, so no problem taking a bit of paracetamol. If it's persistent and you find that she has weakness of the legs, might need to see a physiotherapist and get some advice and guidance on posture and make sure there's nothing can be done there.
A similar question from another listener. I'm 23 weeks pregnant. I keep waking at night with pain from the hip down the leg. When I turn over, I get it on the other side, so not sleeping much. So kind of similar, I'd imagine, to that.
It is, and another unfortunate condition called pelvic girdle pain or pelvic girdle instability or pubic symphysis separation. They're all part of the same spectrum
of
conditions.
How in the name of God do you remember all of these things off the top of your head? I know you spent a long time in college, but there's a lot can go wrong.
Once enough patients complain about you about them to you, Jonathan, you'll remember them. But if something like that, where rolling over in bed is a problem, an evaluation by a physiotherapist might be the order of the day. There are certain little postures and positions that you can take that will help stabilise the pelvis and stop that getting worse.
We have a tendency in this country to just kind of suck it up and complain rather than seek help. I mean, who do you go to in that scenario? You obviously have your GP. You might have had your dating scan and your next scan, your 20-week scan, but you mightn't see a doctor or a midwife for ages in between times. Do you pick up the phone?
Yeah, I pick up the phone. The midwives in the maternity hospitals are an endless source of information and support. They will have heard every single complaint that you can possibly have thought of. So I would get on the phone to the midwife or indeed your doctor and just ask for a bit of advice. Don't just assume that everything is normal. Anything that you have a concern with, I'd rather you spoke to a midwife about it than go to Dr. Google, where you'll get all sorts of potentially inaccurate information and scare stories.
I'm 41, says a listener. We'd love a third. No health issues. Two fast, zero drug or intervention labours under midwife care. Fair play to you. How much risk would my age hold, and what are the chances of a quick labour like the two that went before?
Well, the latter part is an easy one. Almost certainly she's going to have a similarly fast, easy labour.
Are
the first two
just lucky like that?
Just lucky. Yeah. I mean, and that's great and delighted for her. So I'd be very positive in that regard. The age is a bit of an issue. At age 41, the risks of some genetic problems with the baby starts to increase. For example, a 20-year-old woman has about a 1 in 1,000 chance of having a baby with Down syndrome. A 40-year-old woman has about a 1 in 50 chance. So the risk goes up quite significantly. But I suppose it's important to keep it in context, Jonathan. I just said 1 in 50 chance of having a baby with Down syndrome. That means 49 out of every 50 are having healthy babies.
Yeah.
98% are having healthy babies, which is great. So I think you need to be aware of it, but I don't think you need to be panicking about it. And we have all sorts of now new screening tests as early as 9 and 10 weeks of pregnancy that can give you reassurance about that. So yes, there are risks as you get older. I'd encourage her not to maybe delay another couple of years, but the risks are quantifiable and manageable.
This is from a lady who is 6 weeks pregnant, not a very early pregnancies here. And I know, look, having been through that particular bill ourselves, we know how stressed out you are over the smallest of things and you can't really talk to anyone about it. This lady is suffering from nausea. She wants to know about supplements without iron. Are they okay to take if you've had a lot of nausea?
Yeah, I think supplements with iron are definitely a no-no because iron is a notorious cause of worsening nausea, constipation. So the only supplement you really need at those first few weeks is the folic acid. So if you can just take your folic acid, that's fine. Later in pregnancy, vitamin D and calcium are all important. But in your first trimester, if you're suffering with nausea and vomiting, if you can just get your folic acid into you, you're doing very well.
I've had three children, says this listener, three sections. I had a large hernia after the third baby. Oh, dear. I had a large mesh inserted. I'm 16 months post-surgery. I wonder, would it be safe to carry another baby given all the above? Three sections. Is there a rule of thumb for sections?
No, that's a bit of a myth, Jonathan, that you know you have a certain number of three sections and that's it. There's no doubt, however, that each successive pregnancy with sections, there are added risks, the placenta getting a bit sticky and things like that. But a fourth section, to be blunt, is absolutely fine. For this patient with her mesh in, it's still fine, but just there's extra caution needs to be done with the obstetrician when the section is being performed. So it's not an absolute no-no to have a fourth baby.
Do you have to go in and deliver babies now after this, or do you have the bank holiday Monday off?
I'm off until 6 o'clock this evening, but then I'll be a little bit busy then.
You're back in back 6 o'clock, in. So you'll be delivering babies before midnight?
We'll see.
Fergal Malone of the Rotunda Hospital, Master of the Rotunda and Professor and Chairman of the Department of Obstetrics and Gynaecology at the RCSI. Thank you very much for joining us on the Pat Kenny Show.